Happy New Year! This is the first Book Hype of 2014, and today we're actually all here. Small miracle. So hello, everyone!
Hey!
Hello!
Hi!
Hey!
It's a good way to start off the year with all of us on at once. Doesn't happen too often these days, but it's kind of fun. So let's talk about what we've all been up to in this lovely new year, and what we've been reading. Have you guys been reading anything exciting? Let's start with Michal. Have you been reading anything exciting since the beginning of the new year?
Yes, I'm actually reading one of Karen's favorite books of 2013, which is Steelheart by Brandon Sanderson. Yeah, because I just finished reading his first in his Mistborn trilogy, and then I was like, well, you know what? Karen said such good things about Steelheart. I figured I would move to that first. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I wonder, like, Brandon Sanderson is, like, obsessed with metal. It's really weird. Like, a whole Mistborn trilogy is also about metal. Yeah, it's very strange. I don't know about his other books, but I'm a little bit like, oh, okay. But, yeah, I like it. I'm a little annoyed at the main character, but I'm definitely intrigued, and it's a really fast read. Like, I read 200 pages without, like, noticing. And it's not a small book, so it wasn't, like, you know, you don't anticipate it to be as easy a read as it is. So, yeah, that's what I'm reading.
Awesome. Karen, how about you? Anything exciting so far?
I actually started reading The Book Thief, so Marima will be happy about that. And I'm only about 150 pages into it, but it's really good so far, and I really like the way that he describes things. It's really different. I don't think I've ever read an author who uses metaphors and stuff like he does, and it makes for a really kind of engaging and visceral read.
Awesome. Marima, are you excited that Karen has finally started reading The Book Thief?
I had to mute so I didn't interrupt with my excitement.
although,
like, no need for the tone of surprise, Karen, when you sound like you're actually enjoying it.
Oh, that's no, fun. I was totally expecting to love it, but I was really surprised by just, like, his word choices and stuff, because, like I said, I've never come across anything like it before, but, like, 100 people have said, you know, that I know, have said that this book is amazing, so I was, you know, fully aware going into it that it would be.
Yay, I'm excited. We'll have to report back. By the time you finished it, I may have actually seen the movie. Finally.
It's still not out there.
No.
Oh, boy.
I'm not bitter. What are you talking about?
Have you been able to read anything recently, Marima?
I can't remember if I talked about this last year, because I started it, I think, before our final show, but I'm reading a book called The HBO Effect, which is a nonfiction book, and it's about, like, the development of HBO and like Game of Thrones and all of these various shows that kind of made it, you know, it's not television, it's HBO, because I'm a big nerd and I found that super interesting. And apart from that, I have gone back to my big pile of history books once again for school. So, you know, nonfiction is the way at the moment.
Excellent. And Kyle, have you been reading anything recently?
Yes! Oh my goodness. I started Fangirl and Eleanor and Park 2 days ago.
And
I like them. I like them a lot. I am really particularly excited about Fangirl, so I haven't been reading as much of Eleanor and Park, because everyone keeps talking about, oh, it's so me, like, oh my god, like, hey. And so, like, I'm trying to figure out if it's going to be, like, a reflection of me as well, so I'm excited to finish that one soon. I'm really sad that I missed out on the trend and didn't get to do the review earlier last year, so I'm going to try to finish that ASAP.
That's so 2013, Kyle.
I know, I'm sorry.
Oh, poor Kyle. Well, I had the week off from school, so I actually got to read a lot. I finished a book called Cruel Beauty, and it's really kind of interesting. It's a debut that comes out, I think, Tuesday. And it's basically kind of a retelling of Beauty and the Beast mixed in with some Greek mythology action. And it's kind of really dark and cool, and it's very different. It had a couple of things that I wasn't, like, in love with that I thought were a little bit, like, odd. But overall, it wasn't a bad read, because it's just unique, the idea of this retelling of Beauty and the Beast and all this other stuff. Then I read, it's called Better Off Friends, and it's by Elizabeth Uhlberg. And I just love her. She's so much fun. Her reads are always just these really entertaining, kind of somewhat relationship-based books, and they're just super fun. This one's a little bit like Harry Met Sally, but for the teen set with a couple twists. So I started it on Thursday night. I started reading. I was like, oh, I'll read a couple chapters, and then I'll go to bed. And by 3:30, I had finished the book. So if it tells you anything, the book is a really quick, addictive read. So yeah, that was really, really good. And that comes out in February. And then I read The Promise of Amazing, and that just came out last week. And it's also a debut. And it's another contemporary story. It's set in New Jersey. And it was really interesting. It's about, you know, the dynamics of relationships and kind of like this girl who's really shy and quiet, and she's, you know, in a family of three, and she's the youngest, and she's always been the good one. So what happens when the good one finds the bad boy? And it's, that sounds really cliched, but it's not. It's actually really well done. And it's like the challenges of trying to pick out college, and what happens when your teacher tells you that you're not good enough to go to the college that you want to go to, and how do you deal with those things? So I thought that one was pretty cool. And I just started, it's called Grimm. It's an anthology that's coming out from Harlequin Teen, and it has all kinds of authors in it. It has Rachel Hawkins, Julie Kagawa, Myra McIntyre, and I don't remember, Jerry Smith Reddy, and like a ton of other authors. It's a 400-page anthology, so I think there's at least like 20 authors, and I'm not remembering who they all are right now. And I started reading that, and it has some really, really cool stories in it. And that one's really easy, because you can kind of like read a 20-page story, then go read something else, and come back to it. So that's really good, and that comes out in February as well, I think. So that's what I did with my time off. I used it wisely, and I read a lot of books. So, let's see.
That was super impressive.
Yeah.
Thank you! Goodness. Thank you. It's because for, like, months, all I've done is read about behavior analysis, which, you know, is great and all, but after a while, you can only have so much psychology and behavior principles in your life, and you want to pull your hair out. So, which is not a good behavior, by the way. So, yeah, so I was like, I have time, I don't have a paper to write, so I'm gonna sit down and read all the books that I can. So I was reading almost, like, a book a day. It was kind of nice. All right, so we're going to do book bites right now. And listeners, we want to hear about your book bites topic as well. For this topic, if you want to leave comments and tell us what your book resolution is for the new year, because we're going to talk about our book resolutions right now. So Kyle, why don't you go ahead and kick it off? What is your book resolution for the new year?
I actually have several book related resolutions for the year. One of them is to finish at least one of the books that I started writing in 2013. because I like always get these ideas of what I want to happen in my books, and then like I outline it and then I don't write it. So I'm going to try to write more. And then another one is to read faster, because, normally it takes me like maybe if I'm not like on a deadline or something, it takes me like a month to read a book. And so I found a website called Spreader.com, which is actually like this really useful tool that will help you improve your reading speed and your comprehension. And it basically has, like, you paste a passage in it that you want to read, and it flashes each word at you at, like, at whatever rate you say, like 300 words per minute, 500 words per minute. And basically, it trains your eye to, like, read faster than your inner voice can read out loud, because that's basically what is keeping you from reading faster than you want, is because you're taught to read with your inner voice. But if you can kind of ignore your inner voice and just get your mind and your brain to kind of comprehend what's on the page faster than what you can actually read, then you'll be able to like speed read and stuff. So Spreader.com, it's like Spreeder.com. It's fantastic. And like, I'm hoping that it's going to get my comprehension up a lot better.
I'm so suspicious of that. That looks so weird. Sorry. I'm just looking at it now.
No, yeah, it's really useful. I tried it out for like an hour the other day, so.
Yeah, well, I guess it's because like that is how I actually read. Like I've always read like that, which is why I read so quickly. But it's never something that I've thought like you would be able to teach someone how to do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Yeah. You'll have to report back.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, it's just, I'm really excited about that. So I've been like kind of going on that each day that I found it.
Excellent. Karen, do you have a book resolution for the new year?
Oh yeah, my first one and my main one is to finish Insurgent and read Allegiant.
Oh my goodness.
Because, I mean, come on, seriously, this is just insane. But other than that, I want to read 35 books minimum this year. Last year, my goal was 25 books, and I ended up reading like 37. So I think 35 is a good goal, and I'd like to surpass it if I can. But I figured that way, you know, it's a little bit harder than last year, but it's also within reason.
Awesome. Very good. Mikhail, what do you have for a resolution?
Well, like Kyle, I am hoping to get writing done this year. And in addition to that, maybe read more when it isn't the weekend, because I tend to read like exclusively on Saturdays and then just like not read during the rest of the week unless I'm, you know, doing like reading something really, really good or something that I know I need to finish. So I should try and keep books during as part of my regular week routine, not just Saturdays.
Excellent. I think for me, there are two different things. One is I need to read more consistently, because once I started school, everything kind of like fell apart. So if, as long as I'm reading, like making time for reading every like day or every couple of days, then I'll feel better, because like the last like month or two of last year was really rough because I wasn't reading what I wanted to read and I got really cranky and I got behind, which was never good. And the other one is to read more diverse things, because I know people are constantly like saying that we as a group don't cover more things. And I know I, as a person, I don't read a lot of things other than YA. So it's to read a little bit more broader topics to kind of pull in some different, you know, aspects of all the things that are offered out there, I guess, is what I'll go for. And I guess if I had a reading a number of books to read in a year, last year I read about 200. So if I could...
Oh my God. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Holy crap.
That's what I felt, like, bad. Like, I heard you say 35 and I'm like, oh, this is not going to end well.
I'm like, I read 37. Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, it's, even with school and everything else that I'm doing, I want to, like, keep around that same amount, if possible. We'll see.
Oh, I feel like such a failure now, Jen.
I also read a lot, and I get a lot of things given to me, so it's really easy to read, because I always have something I can just pick up. Like, there's always something at hand. I don't really have to go.
If you feel like a failure, I feel like even worse. Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, moving
I'm
on.
I'm pulling the dyslexia card. I read what I read, okay?
Oh my goodness. I didn't say you all had to read the same amount. My goodness. So, Marima, do you have a book resolution for the new year?
Sure, but first of all, I feel like I need to one-up you with your number of books that you've read. Although that depends, like, are you including books for school or are you just including, like, books for fun?
No, those are only books for fun. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that's probably about the same for me. If I include all the books I read for school last year, it's more like 300. Let me see. My
so basically
book resolution...
it's Jen, Marima, and the rest of us idiots, right?
Yeah.
Well, like, I just read really quickly. You guys know this.
Yes. Yeah. You've read so entire, I mean, like, Cuckoo's Calling.
I'm not
on
like
our trip.
I can't do what Karen does and read like, oh, I'm going to read a bit of this, and then like 2 months later, oh, I might finish it now.
Yeah, no, I have to just either.
It's very rare that I don't read a book all in one go, like just sit down and read it, because it's only going to take me a few hours. So it's, you know.
Yeah, I'm very
it seems silly
to that. Very
yeah.
Similar.
Maybe
anyway,
I have to adopt that practice then.
Yeah. Well, it depends. Like, you know, sometimes I lend books to my family and I'll call them up and be like, hey, can I have that back? And my mom will be like, no, I haven't finished it yet. And I'll be like, but you've had it for like 2 days. Like, what's wrong with you? They're like, oh, well, I mean, you know, it's I don't have time to like sit down and read things. I'm like, oh, you're so disappointing. Anyway, my book resolution, I think along similar lines to Jen, I tend to get very like involved in school and sort of drop everything else to focus on that. So yeah, to read with more balance this year, I think, instead of doing like big waves of like, you know, things for fun and then things for school and et cetera. And also, I need to read the next Song of Ice and Fire book. I'm up to number 4. So I want to read that. I just have a thing of like, I want to read the book before I watch the series. And I didn't do it for season 3, but I finished book 3 now before season 4. So I want to like get ahead of it. So I want to read book 4 probably after I watch season 4 of the show, and then I'll be like ready to go for the next one.
Excellent.
Yeah. Season 4 is going to be like the second half of book
3. Yeah, exactly. So I'm up to date now.
Ah, perfect.
Yeah. She just wants to stay on top of it.
Yeah, but I don't want to watch, like, I don't want to know what's going to happen in book 4 before I watch season 4 of the show, in case they, like, include some things and then I'll be surprised and it'll be fun instead of knowing, like, everything. Because I really enjoy the show and I like knowing what happens in the show first versus the book for some reason.
I like it. I like it. Okay, so let's get to the big topics of this episode. Are you guys all ready?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. That was not a really big response, but okay! And mind you, it's an evening, so we should not be this bad. So here's some things that we're looking forward to. We're going to talk about some books that we're looking forward to in 2014, because, you know, we are a book podcast and all. And we broke it up into categories to kind of make it easier to understand. So we have the debuts. We have the new series and standalones. And these are from authors that are already established or already have a published book, but it's a new series or a standalone coming from them. And then we have the sequels. Many of them are the last book in a series that are coming out this year. So lots of things to talk about. All right, so some of the debuts that I've noticed or that I've read or I'm planning to read that are coming out this year, there's some really cool things coming up. All different types of genre. So there's sci-fi, there's stuff about witches, and there's stuff about like murder mystery thrillers, there's dragons. There's so much coming out in 2014. I can't even begin to explain. So the first one is one I talked about already, which was The Promise of Amazing. I think it's a really enjoyable contemporary read. It's from HarperCollins. And I definitely suggest checking it out. It has, you know, it has a lot to offer. I think it's pretty cool. No One Else Can Have You by Kathleen Hale. This is being pitched, and this was my favorite pitch ever when I read it. It's being pitched as Pretty Little Liars meets Fargo. If you guys have ever seen the movie. Okay. First of all, the cover is like a bad Christmas sweater. It's literally, it looks like a sweater, and there are moose on it, and one of the moose is being hung. Like, no joke. Oh, I was like, what is this? This looks amazing. No One Else, so for No One Else Can Have You, it's basically like this twisted murder mystery set in Wisconsin. It sounds hysterical. Like, it just, I was reading through it, and it just was cracking me up. So I definitely suggest checking that out, and that's by Kathleen Hale.
That is the best cover ever.
Oh my god, that cover is amazing.
I told you, for the cover alone, one must have that book, but it actually sounds pretty entertaining. Like, it sounds funny to me. So I was like, oh, I could really enjoy that. The next one is called Half Bad by Sally Green. The book is set in London, and it is about witches. And it's about one specific witch. His name is Nathan, and he's literally half bad and half good witch. And in order for him to completely, like, develop as a witch, he has to be with his father on his 17th birthday so his father can give him his 3 gifts or something like that. But he's currently being held captive by people who don't like him and do very horrible things to him. So it's about his, you know, kind of triumph over good and evil and, you know, kind of coming of age as to who he's going to be as a witch. Will he be good? Will he be evil? And that whole kind of thing. And it just sounded really, really cool.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it sounds, I have a copy of it here. And I've been, like, flipping through it. It looks really good. The other one is The Murder Complex by Lindsay Cummings. And this one is super. With The Murder Complex, it's basically set in a world where the murder rate is higher than the birth rate. So it kind of is a combination of La Femme Nikita and the movie. Did you guys ever see the movie Hannah? It's where the girl is trained to fight by her father.
I've heard of it.
Oh, wait, no, I have seen that. Oh, I just saw that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got really excited.
So essentially, the murder complex is about this girl who's trained by her father so that she can survive any situation. And they live in Florida. And the state is controlled by the murder complex. And it's an organization that tracks the population with precision. So it kind of kicks off when she meets this person named Zephyr, who is one of the murder complex's programmed assassins. So they kind of have this meeting, and is it a meeting so that it's, is it an accident, or is he sent to assassinate her? And there's this whole kind of thing that develops from there. So it's a really cool kind of dark murder, not necessarily mystery, but like thriller kind of book. So I think it sounds really, really cool. I'm really looking forward to that one. And then the last debut, and I'm pretty sure this is a debut, I could be wrong, but it's called Talker 25, and it's by Josh McCune, and it has dragons in it, which I thought looked really, really cool. Basically, it is set in a, yeah, exactly, it's set in a military, like a militaristic state. So it's kind of a reimagined dragon fantasy lore set in a militant future. If you guys ever read Shipbreaker, it's a kind of that backdrop to it. So it's based on a high school prank that goes bad, and basically there are sleeping dragons, kind of like you would have a wild bear in the woods, they have wild dragons. And so the prank is to basically go stand next to the dragon and have your picture taken, and it doesn't go well. And so the story evolves there. I know
that just sounds so random.
But it's a militant state, so it's not really good to go and bother their dragons. So dragons are basically kept on a reservation. So do you see what I mean? It's a really weird combination. But I'm not explaining it well, but I promise you it sounds good. We'll put a link in. You guys can look it up. It'll be all right.
I was going to say, it sounds interesting, yeah, to, you know, at the very least.
All right. So that's what I have for it's what I have for debuts to offer right now. I have a huge list, but we could be here all day just talking about that. So I'm going to move along and let someone else talk. How about Marima? Do you want to go next?
Yes. So I have a couple books that I'm really looking forward to this year. One of them is 6 Feet Over It. Now, I don't know who the author is. Do you know who the author is of that, Jen?
Yes, I do. It is Jennifer Longo.
Yes. And when I read it, it's about this girl that works at like a funeral home or something.
Her family's like cemetery.
Yeah, the cemetery. And yeah, it sounded to me like a mix of 6 Feet Under and Dead Like Me, which I don't know if you guys have seen that show, but it's a very dark show about this girl that like dies basically. And it's just super like just sarcastic and really funny. So I'm looking forward to that. That's out in August,
Yes, August 26th. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's a while to go for that. And the other one I'm really looking forward to is a book called Side Effects May Vary by Julie Murphy. And this is set for, I think it's March overseas. I know it's a bit later here, I think. And it's about a girl who's diagnosed with leukemia. And so she basically is told like she doesn't have very long to live. And so she decides to kind of spend her last few months of her life fixing all of the things that she's done wrong and, you know, kind of righting all these wrongs in her life. But then as she kind of fixes all these things up and she, you know, is like kind of set everyone up for her to die, she goes into remission and now she has to face all of the consequences of all of the things that she's just like done and said, assuming that she was going to be dead in like 3 months. So it just looks really fun. It looks kind of quirky. It's been getting a lot of really good press that I've been seeing. So yeah, I've got my eye on that one too.
It comes out in March here.
Yeah.
All right. Michal, what do you have?
I have a book that is, oh my gosh, shocking fantasy, called Red Rising by an author named Pierce Brown. It's actually coming out on the 28th of January, so it's coming out pretty soon. It's basically like somebody, a kid named Darrow, and like a caste society that are, you know, color-coded, and they're kept down, and they have to, like, you know, work really hard and all that, but it all turns out to be a lie. It just sounds really interesting, and it's been getting really, really positive reviews, and I'm interested in picking that one up.
Okay, and Kyle, I think you have one.
Yes.
yeah, Kyle has that one. Go ahead, Kyle.
I'm sorry. I stole this okay, from Michal because I really wanted to talk about it. And I'm actually really excited about it. It's The Queen of the Tierling by Erica Johansson. It made a big splash earlier in 2013, I guess, because the author is a debut author, and she was offered a seven-figure book deal. I'm sorry, goodness. A seven-figure book deal. And it's really interesting because it's a debut author, and that's really unprecedented. But the book itself looks amazing. It caused some drama last year, because someone referred to it as a female Game of Thrones, which isn't necessarily, like, the best marketing thing you could have done. But basically, it's about this 19-year-old who was raised in exile. On her 19th birthday, she's going back to the castle where she was born to claim her rightful spot on the throne. And she has, like, this pendant that she wears called the Tierling. And it's kind of like a magical pendant type thing. And so she's going to travel through the realms back to her throne, and she has a bunch of guards and people who are going to protect her from anyone who is going to want to harm her, because they don't want her to take the throne. And it's basically about how she's coming of age, and she's kind of taking this kingdom, and she has to deal with a neighboring kingdom that has, like, this evil witch who has, like, dark magic and wants to, like, destroy her kingdom. So, I don't know, it sounds really, really cool. And I have a sneaking suspicion that it's not a debut author, and that it's someone who's actually, like, really well-known, who's going under a pseudonym, but whatever.
No, it's a debut author. If you Google her,
mm-hmm.
it comes up. The name is real, the person is real, she's attended writing workshops, she went to, I think it was the Iowa, or it's somewhere out there. She's legit. Whoever it is, it's a real person. It is not a pseudonym for anyone.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I researched that right away to make sure. So now we're going to talk about new series and new standalones. These are books that are by authors that are already established, but they're new books or series that are coming out from them.
I have a few. Let me see. Well, first of all, I have Disruption by Jess Shervington, who, this is going to be her new series. And I need to check. It still doesn't have a U.S. Release date. Also, the cool thing about Disruption is at the moment it's set just to be a two-part series, which I thought was fun in the world of, like, trilogies and everything. And, this is set for a March release in Australia, and it is going to be published in America, but, like, it's not doesn't have a confirmed date and everything, but I'm assuming probably later this year. So if people keep an eye out for that. And, I mean, this is kind of your, like, dystopian sort of split societies, blah, blah, blah thing. But, like, it, you know, I think you need to read the whole synopsis to kind of get your head around it. It's a bit complicated even in what they've published so far. But it does seem really cool. And it's sort of based around the control of pheromones. Like, so, you know, how you attract various people, and they're sort of chemically controlled. And it's like linking the pheromones with, like, the development of superpowers and stuff, which I thought sounded really fun. So that one's in March. And then I have another one, which technically has already come out, which is The Impossible Knife of Memory by Laurie Halse Anderson, who wrote Speak. So, you know, everyone should read that. And it's about, oh, what's happening? Oh, and it's about like these two kids, and basically, like, fairly bleak, I would say, and they're dealing with, like, post-traumatic stress disorder and drugs, and someone has, like, their father has returned from Iraq, and all of these kinds of things. And yeah, I really want to read that. And then I've got two more. One of them, I honestly don't even know what it's about, but I just really love this author. And that is Amada by Ernest Cline, who wrote Ready Player One, which is like one of the best books I've ever read. So this is just a new book, a new standalone from that author. So I'm really keen to read that. And then the last one is, I mean, this probably could have gone in debuts because like I feel like this guy is not very well known. But Guy in Real Life by Steve Brezanoff, I think is how you say it. And it's about like these two kids who meet through like online role playing and video games and stuff like that. And it just seemed kind of quirky and fun. Although I really wish publishers would stop like promoting their books as John Green meets Eleanor and Park, because I have received like so many press releases and that is the description in the first sentence of like every single one of them. And I feel like we should just tell them that not every book has to be John Green meets Rainbow Rowell, but you know, that's fine.
Yeah, it's a little bit much, but yeah.
I don't know if you've been seeing them, but yeah, so many books. I'm like, guys, yeah. Not every book can be John Green meets Rainbow Rowell. Like, that's not a thing.
No, and if it were, it would just be excessive then. It wouldn't make wouldn't make it good.
You know, no, it would be like, oh, another one. Cool. How unique of you.
Exactly.
But anyway.
Yeah, I digress. Okay. Michal, do you want to go next?
Yeah, I have two books. The first is called Death Sworn by Leia Seipis. It's also the first of like a I don't know what that's called, the duology. I'm just moving my hands with the two fingers up right now.
It's a duology.
Oh, okay. And that's about I think it's like a story about a failed assassin and who goes to like teach other assassins, but she's like undercover. Nobody knows that she's actually like lost her assassin powers. And it's, you know, it's going to be fantasy. I'm not sure when that's coming out, but I will look it up at some point. And also a book called Avalon by Mindy Arnett, who wrote The Nightmare Affair. And that book is, I've heard it described as like Firefly meets like something else, you know, but in YA. And it's about like a kid who is in outer space, and he has, you know, he has a ship, and he's like a thief. He steals like different parts of other spaceships and sells them and works on the black market. So it's about his like family on the ship, and I think his sister is involved, and yeah. So that seemed really cool to me, and I think that's been getting really good reviews also.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so I have a couple things on my list again. Sorry. I already mentioned That Are Off Friends by Elizabeth Uhlberg. I talked about at the beginning. Another one that's coming out this year, which is a new series / standalone from Jennifer L. Armentrout, is Don't Look Back. And it's kind of a thriller along the lines of this girl loses her memory. She goes missing with her best friend, and she returns, but she doesn't have any memory of anything that's happened. So she's in town and everyone's grateful to have her back, but they also need to know what happened to her friend. So she has no idea, but she feels like someone's stalking her. So clearly the person or whoever was involved is now after her, hoping that she doesn't remember, even though she's struggling to remember. So it's kind of got that really cool, like a thriller vibe to it, which I like, as we all know. Then there's one called The Chapel Wars by Lindsay Levitt. And I love Lindsay Levitt because she writes these really quirky, fun books for girls. Like, they are basically, I say for girls, but they're about girls that are kind of strong and coming into their own, and they're contemporary, and I just really enjoy them. This one takes place in Las Vegas, and in case you didn't catch from the title, it's about a wedding chapel. The main character's grandfather dies, and he leaves her his wedding chapel as, like, her inheritance. And so she has to work with her newly divorced parents at the wedding chapel in order to keep it afloat. Yeah. It's like comedy ensues all over the place. Like, it's fantastic.
That sounds hilarious.
So,
I'm gonna read that.
And then she has to deal with the boy next door who's working for his rivals, like the rival wedding chapel next door. And her grandfather has said, you know, you need to make peace with the next door neighbors at their chapel. And she's just like, wah! So it just sounds really, really funny and entertaining, which is always great. I also already talked about the Grimm Anthology. And then another one is, it's called Sleep No More, and it's by April Lynn Pike. And it's about a modern day oracle. Except in modern day, oracles are made to suppress their visions and not get involved. And there are consequences if you utilize a vision to save someone. But in the town that this girl lives in, there's a serial killer and killing off her classmates. So she has to choose if she's going to use her visions to help save the lives of her classmates or to suffer the consequences of that fate. So it's kind of a really cool book. Sounds nice and creepy. I'm really into creepy this year so far. I don't know why.
I approve.
The next one is called After the End, and it's by Amy Plum. This one's a little bit like The Village, if you guys ever saw M. Night Shyamalan's The Village. And if you didn't, then I'm going to ruin it for you because I'm going to tell you what the book's about. So in After the End, it's set in the Alaskan wilderness, which I think is super cool because that's like a place no one really ever sets a book, let's be real. The girl lives in this very isolated area, and they've been told that outside the borders of where they live, World War III has happened, there was a nuclear explosion, and the land is inhabitable. It's dangerous if you go outside the borders because of radiation and all that stuff. So one day she's gone out to go like fishing or something, and when she comes back, everyone in her village is gone. So she has to go out into the wilderness to see what's happened, and when she does, she realizes that everything that she was ever told was a lie. There was no World War III. The world is exactly what it should be, and she has no skills to live in that world. And then there's still the fact that everyone that she lived with and loved is missing. So she has to kind of navigate our world thinking that it never existed, having none of the things that we've all kind of like grown up with. So no technology, no cars, no nothing. So it's kind of like her being pushed into the scenario of trying to figure out what do I do now and what's happened to the people that were with me. So I thought that sounded pretty cool and really different. And then the last one, and by last one, I mean the last one I have on my list, not the last one that interested me this week, is called The Taking, and it's by Kim Durding. And it is about, so this one is about a girl who wakes up to discover that 5 years have passed, and everyone in her life has moved on and things around her are different. So she's, something happens and she's like basically in a coma for 5 years. But when she wakes up, she's still the same age as she was when she vanished. So nothing about her has changed, but everything else around her has changed. And so she has to try and figure out what's going on and what's happened to her and what occurred that night that she was taken, in quotes, if you will.
That sounds almost basically exactly like that one movie from like the 80s or 90s where this kid woke up, like he disappeared for like 10 years or 15 years, and then he came back and he was the same age. He was like 8 and his brother grew up to be like 30. I don't know if anyone gets that reference because I don't even know what I'm talking about, but it sounds awesome.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I know that there's a TV show that's coming out that's like something like that. That this kid was dead and then like he died in like the 70s and then he comes back and he's the same age. And
yeah, I swear there's a totally like a movie about that. But anyway, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. So, and in this one, they find out that others have been taken, but she's the only one that was returned. Like most of them are returned within 48 hours. She was the only one that was returned past the 48 hour mark. So much so that it was like 5 years later. So it's like her search to find out what happened. So I thought that sounded really cool too. Oh, and there's one more as I'm looking at it right now. It's called Uninvited and it's by Sophie Jordan. And it's basically about this girl who has a really bright future and everything's really great. Except in this world, they test your genetics because you can be tested for the homicidal tendency syndrome. And if you test positive, it means you could be a killer. So if you carry this gene, you're marked. And then you have to, you're basically shunned from all normal society because you could be a murderer. Not that you are, but wow, that you could be. So she has to kind of deal with that and figure out if she is truly just what her DNA is or if she is more than that. So it's kind of like her nurture versus nature kind of plot line in that, which I thought was kind of cool and different too. So yeah, that's what I have. All right. So the next category is the sequels category. And Karen, I see you have a lot going on your list for sequels. So why don't you go ahead and start?
Yeah, especially since I didn't have, like, any for the last two. But one of the ones I'm definitely looking forward to is Ashes to Ashes by Jenny Han, which comes out in September. This is the third book in her Burn for Burn series, and I'm really looking forward to it because in the second book, there was a pretty big twist at the end, and I really need to know what happens, and I hope I don't actually have to wait till September to get my hands on it because I'm really excited. And then Firefight by Brandon Sanderson, which is the follow-up book to Steelheart. And that actually kind of is going to be dealing with the twist at the end of Steelheart, kind of like the other one. And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that because I really fell in love with the characters in those books. And that comes out in November. And then, of course, I can't go 5 minutes without mentioning Rick Riordan, so The Blood of Olympus, which comes out in October, which is the final book in the Heroes of Olympus series, yes. And I'm really, 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 really looking forward to that. I'm so excited. And this one I don't think I've ever talked about before, Blightborn by Chuck Wendig. He is a really cool blogger that I know of, and I mean, he's sold a lot of books too. He's fairly popular in his little circle, and he's just got this really great personality, and he swears a lot, and he's just, his voice and his stories is really strong. And this is the second book to in the Heartland series, the second book to Under the Empyrean Sky, which is this really kind of cool sci-fi book, and it's got a lot about corn, and it's really weird, but I just kind of fell in love with it anyway, so I'm looking forward to the second one. And then my last one is The Dark King by CJ Abetti, and this is a sister duo, and I haven't actually read the first book in the series, which is called Fae, but the reason why I'm bringing it up is because Ridley Scott has optioned this series in the hopes that it might be the next big thing. And the first book has gotten a lot of attention, and the second book will be coming out in May. And so I definitely want to read the first one to see what all the hype is about. And so I think the second one might even land better because it's had time, you know, for people to pick up the first one. And if Ridley Scott's interested in this series, I think that is definitely something to keep your eye on.
Awesome. And Mikhail, do you want to go next?
Sure. Where am I? Here I am. Okay, so I'm looking forward to Cress, which is the third book in the Lunar Chronicles series by Marissa Meyer, which I've read and I should reread because I need to write a review of it, and it's awesome. I'm also looking forward to The Infinite Sea by Rick Yancey, which is the sequel to The Fifth Wave, because basically I just never stop talking about Rick Yancey ever. I'm looking forward to Dreams of Gods and Monsters by Lainey Taylor, which is the third book in
Smoke and Bone.
Daughter of Smoke and Bone. I forgot if the series had like a general title, but yeah. Which are amazing, gothic, bizarre, extraterrestrial, but not alien stories that are inspired by Shakespeare, and they're so good. You really, 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 really must read them. And also Ruin and Rising, which is also the third book in Leigh Bardugo's Shadow and Bone series, and the second book in the series, I forget what it's called, but it left off on kind of like an interesting note, so I'm really excited to see, you know, where that series goes as its finale, because we had a lot of finales this year also. So it's interesting that this is kind of like carrying over in the same group of YA authors. And I also want to give a shout out to books that probably won't come out this year, but The Winds of Winter by George R. R. Martin and whatever Megan Whalen Turner's fifth book is going to be. I'm still waiting. I'll wait as long as I need to.
Okay. Kyle.
Hey. Okay.
Hey, so, what do you have?
So I'm really looking forward to The Hollow City by Ransom Riggs because I really enjoyed Miss Peregrine's. And I'm very excited to see how he takes this whole adventure now, and kind of, I want to see what happens to all of the peculiar children and what happens when they meet other peculiar children. So that looks really exciting. I'm looking forward to the second book in the Robert Galbraith novel series by J.K. Rowling, Cuckoo's Calling sequel, I guess. She didn't announce that it was going to be in 2014, I don't think, she didn't announce a specific date for 2014, but she said it's going to be out in 2014, so I'm hoping that it's going to be good, even though I'm in the middle of Cuckoo's Calling. Actually, it kind of got me to like more detective-like novels, so I'm looking forward to that. And I'm also looking forward to Aaron Morgenstern's next project, because about like 2 years ago, or like a year ago, on her blog, she said that she was working on something, and it's not novel-shaped yet, but she hopes it will be soon. So I just love... She's the author of The Night Circus, so I'm really excited to see what comes out next. She also said she was working on some short stories revolving around like the world of The Night Circus, so that would be pretty awesome as well.
Okay, great. All right, Marima, I'm going to let you go, but I want everyone to know that the first book Marima's going to talk about is really my choice.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You just couldn't let that go.
I really couldn't.
I mean, I'm saying it, so technically you're copying me, because how would anyone prove that you wrote it down first?
I have a document. I know who wrote things down first.
But the listeners don't.
Let's just take a moment to appreciate the irony that this makes Marima an actual book thief.
No!
I love it. Oh, that's my favorite joke of today. Okay, so my book and not Jen's is... I don't even know how you say this name. Isla?
Isla.
Isla?
Isla.
Yeah, so that's a strange name. Isla and the Happily Ever After by Stephanie Perkins is the third book in the Anna and the French Kiss little, like, the most adorable books basically ever written. And yeah, they're just really cute and funny, and I'm excited for that. Would you like to add anything, Jen?
We've been waiting, what, like 2 years for this book? I'm dying.
Yeah.
Like, I need to know. And the best part is that it kind of keeps the characters that you already know in the story, so you don't lose the characters that were in the book before, even though they're not the primary topic. So yeah, that's why I'm kind of like, I need to read the book.
Well, I mean, speaking about that though, I definitely know how they will include like the characters from the first book. I am more curious to know how she will get in the Lola from the second book.
Because the Olympics, where Cricket's sister skates, they're happening there. So they're all going to go together, kids. That would be my guess.
So cute. Yeah,
I know. Okay, anyway. Okay.
And the rest of us.
Jen and I just have like, a minute. If you guys haven't read Anna and the French Kiss, you should read it. It's like, even if you don't have a heart like me, it will just like get into your soul. It's just so cute.
It is. It's cute. And it's like, I don't know, there's something about it. That's another book I read in like an hour and a half. Like, I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
Could not put it down. It's so good. And like, you read it and you're like, gosh, like, I know those feelings. Like, I've definitely been there before. There's just things about it that are so relatable and just so really fun and entertaining. I love the way Stephanie Perkins writes. Love.
Yeah, she has a really great turn of phrase as well. Like, it's not light and fluffy and poorly written. Like, they're really well.
Yeah.
So I would definitely people check those out. And then you'll be caught up when this comes out.
Exactly.
Which is in, what, May that this is out?
Yeah, in May. So, yeah. So you have a little time. But, you know, I would definitely get on that if you have not read Anna and the French Kiss and Lola and the Boy Next Door. And for those of you who like Doctor Who, the boy in Lola and the Boy Next Door.
Oh, yeah.
Is so David Tennant. Like,
that's so true.
He is so David Tennant as the Doctor. It's brilliant. Like, I was like, yes. Yeah, it was
completely approved then.
Me too, right?
Hey. There's so, you guys would really like
them. Kyle, I don't know why you haven't read this, because the first one has like a hot British French guy in it.
Yeah.
And it's set in Paris, and like there are just hot dudes running around everywhere. You need to get into this.
I do. Mm-hmm. Goodness.
You definitely need to be reading these. And you'll actually be able to finish them because they're addictive, so you won't be able to.
Hey, that's one of my resolutions. I'm going to read more books, so I'll put that on my list.
All right.
Okay. add them down. And another one that's coming out in May, and I have to say, like, this one, I don't know if I'm excited or not, but this is The One by Kira Cass, which is the last book in the Selection trilogy. And I don't know if you guys have read that, but that's like, basically there's a prince and like all these girls get selected to go and like compete to marry the prince. And, so there are like obviously some problematic elements to this, but, I read the first one and I was like, oh, this is okay. And then I read the second one and was a bit like, why am I still reading this? But now I've read two of them. I feel like I've committed. So I need to read the last one, even though like, I think it's fairly obvious what is going to happen. But yeah, so that comes out in May. So yeah, like I said, I'm not sure if I'm excited or sort of apprehensive about that. And then in August, the second Diviners book is coming out, Lair of Dreams by Libba Bray, which I'm so excited for. And I talked about this a lot erroneously on our end of 2013 episode because the first one came out in 2012. But like I said, I don't care. It's just, they're great books and they're huge though. So like it's a pretty big commitment. And I think the second book is going to be just as big, if not bigger. It's like the first book is like 500 pages long at least. But they're so great. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And then, there's another book. This is by an Australian author, Jennifer Closter, and it doesn't have a release date yet, but it's supposed to be set for this year. And it's called The Rapunzel Dilemma, and it follows on from The Cinderella Moment, which was a book that I reviewed last year, which was really fun and cute, and it's kind of, you know, a slightly twisted modern fairy tale, which I always enjoy. So, yeah, that's Rapunzel Dilemma, so that will be fun.
Let's see. I have Evertrue, which is by Brodie Ashton. It is the third, I think, and the final book in the Everneath series. It's a Persephone tale. So it's a really cool take on a Persephone tale. It's very, very different. So there's that. There's Ignite Me by Tahereh Mafi, and it is the last book in the Shatter Me trilogy. And I have a bound copy of that I'm reading, and it's really good, you guys. I think everyone's going to enjoy where she's taking it. And then, because Rochelle Mead is mean and horrible, Silver Shadows, which, you know, cliffhanger much? The woman, I swear to God, she lives to kill her fans because... So I'm desperately waiting for that next book, which is part of the Bloodline series. And then Opposition, which is the next book in the Lux series from Jennifer Armentrout. And there's a bunch of other stuff coming out as well, but we could be here all night if we pick them all up. And then, of course, I guess if I don't mention it, I'll probably get hate mail. The last book in the City of Bones trilogy, or the City of Fallen Angels trilogy by Cassie Clare. So it kind of wraps up the Mortal Instruments series with that. And I think that comes out in May. I'm not sure. I think it's changed a couple of times. So yeah, I was pretty sure. So that comes out and that is the final book in that kind of, in that two sets of three book arcs. It's the final book in the second set. Find out what really happens to Jace and if he's really horrid or what. So okay. There's that. Yeah. I'm kind of to that point. It's really sad, but I'm kind of to that point.
I feel like 100% of people still reading that series are only reading to know if Magnus and Alec get back together.
Possibly. They kind of
every single time I see anything about that series, it's just about those characters. And I'm like, you guys realize these aren't the main characters, right?
Yeah, the second half of the Mortal Instruments series kind of just lost me. It feels very unnecessary to me, but that's just me. And I know lots of people like them, so have at it, kids. All right, so Marma, you're going to give us some adult and some nonfiction options, which is always great. So why don't you go ahead and throw those out there?
Sure. Well, I could do this.
What are these genres you speak of?
Oh yeah, weird, right?
Wait,
I could do this like stuff forever, that doesn't exist, but
past fiction.
There are a couple things that I've got my eye on. So there are a couple like. You guys know how much I love autobiographies and biographies. There is a Hillary Clinton autobiography that is coming out in June. And like, regardless of your political position, I feel like that will be super interesting. Hillary Clinton being like former senator, secretary of state, first lady, current badass. So, you know, that will be fun. And there is a John Cleese autobiography, and John Cleese is a British comic who was like one of the founding members of Monty Python, and he created Fawlty Towers, and he's an actor as well. Like, he was in Harry Potter. He was a nearly headless Nick, so if you need that as a frame of reference. So he has an autobiography coming out that doesn't have a set date yet. The book I'm most excited about this year, actually, is this book called My Salinger Year, and it's by Joanna Rakoff, I think is how you say it, and it's a memoir, and it's kind of being marketed like a literary version of The Devil Wears Prada, and it's about Joanna Rakoff, who goes and works in a literary agency, and it's the agency that represents J.D. Salinger, and this is like a few years ago, obviously. And it's her job basically to reply to all of his fan mail. And I don't know how much you guys know about Salinger, but like he had a very dedicated fan base would be one way to say it. So, you know, she was supposed to write back with this very standard like company letter. And she actually, according to the book, started writing back as Salinger, but she would write back individually to all of these different people. And it just sounds super interesting. So it's about, basically like 12 months while she was doing that. And I'm like so interested in those kinds of things. So there's that. And one more biography is a biography of John le Carré, who is a British spy espionage writer, and he used to work for MI5 and MI6, so he's like basically a real life James Bond. And then he like quit that to become an author, and he wrote The Spy Came In from the Cold, which is like one of the classics of the espionage genre. So, you know, if you haven't read that, you should read that. But yeah, so those are some fun non-fiction things, and then some fun fiction things that are coming out. It was an Australian book that was published last year called The Rosie Project, and I feel like everyone should read this book. It is about this guy who has Asperger's, but he doesn't realize that he has it, and he is trying to find a relationship using this like formula and this quiz, and, you know, basically trying to do relationships by numbers, and obviously like that doesn't work out. And there's a sequel that is meant to be coming out this year. And yeah, this book was like so fantastic. It sold really, really well in Australia. And I don't know if it's been picked up internationally, but you can definitely just order it online. It's by Graham Simsion. So you can check that out. And also, there are some new books, just to run down a few. There are new books set to come out, and none of these have dates yet, I don't think. For Margaret Atwood, who is, like, if you like science fiction, dystopian, those kinds of things, you should read Margaret Atwood, because she's, like, the queen of it, and she's amazing. Ian McEwan, who wrote Atonement and writes these really beautiful little glimpses of people's lives, and, like, he wrote this book called Saturday, which is just about these, like, 4 hours in someone's life on a Saturday, obviously, which was great. So, you know, those kinds of books. Ben Elton, who is a comedian, his books are really, really funny. Although, if you don't enjoy my jokes, you might not enjoy his books. So, you can, like, keep that in mind. I think they're hilarious, but, you know, each their own. And Stephen King, of course, King of Horror, has a book set to come out this year. I think, actually, that might have a release date. But, yeah, so those are some things that will be fun.
The Margaret Wood book you're talking about, is that Mad Adam?
Got another one coming this year. Oh, okay. Mad Adam is like fantastic, and that is the last book in this kind of trilogy that she wrote, right. And they're all like science fiction, which are cool. Yeah, people should read them. The Stephen King book is out for June. It's called Mr. Mercedes. Yeah. So Stephen King is great. Like, everyone should read Stephen King. Yeah, so those are a few other books if you need more after the 5,000 that we've told you.
Excellent. And the last thing we're going to talk about for our 2014 episode and things to look forward to is, of course, adaptations, because what would a year be without a book adaptation? Right, right. So some of the big ones that I think you guys all know are coming are like The Fault in Our Stars is definitely a huge one, I think. Divergent, which is only about 3 months away. And there's one coming out in February. Oh, I realized what The Vampire Academy, which is about a month away, which I totally didn't put on the list. I don't know what's wrong with me. So, and then there's one coming out called Winter's Tale. And I watched the trailer for it, and it just looks magical. It looks so cool. Winter's Tale is basically about these characters set in the late 1800s, kind of at the turn of the century, and they're in New York City. And the one man's a thief. His name is Peter Lake, and he's kind of the lead character. And he goes to steal from this very wealthy person's house, only to find the daughter at home. And so they kind of strike up a friendship. And even though he's a thief, even though he's very poor, her family is willing to let him stay around because she's dying. And they don't know what else to do for her. And if it makes her happy, they're okay with it. But because this man was a thief, he's made some enemies. And there's a fairly bad guy that's kind of not into keeping this man around. And he's played by Russell Crowe. And so he essentially throws him, basically, you see this in the preview, he throws him off the bridge. But New York City is kind of encapsulated with a cloud wall. So it's just the city. It's set in, like, so it's like Arctic there all the time. It's always cold. And there's this cloud wall that surrounds it. And he falls into the cloud wall. And when he wakes up, he's in present day New York City. And so he kind of wanders around as someone who doesn't know who he is. He has no memory of who he is. And he meets this woman and her daughter. And they try to help him figure out who he is. And he sees a picture of the girl that he was in love with and realizes her name, but he doesn't really know much else about himself. So it's kind of this really cool tale that takes place in two time periods. And it just looks really, really cool. And it has that little element of magic to it that makes it super cool. So I'm kind of excited about that one. And that also comes out in about a month's time. It comes out in February on Valentine's Day, of course. Gone Girl is another one that I'm really excited for coming out next year. And that one is based on the novel by Gillian Flynn. And if you guys haven't read it, it's an adult novel. And it's kind of like a thriller mystery kind of novel. And basically, it's about a woman who goes missing. Ben Affleck plays the husband who is searching for his wife. And Rosamund Pike plays the lead. And so you learn through, like, flashbacks and stuff about this woman and her life. And you learn about her, which isn't necessarily to say you always learn good things. So I think that will be really cool to see on screen. So I'm kind of excited for that. And that doesn't come out until, like, October. I think they only just wrapped filming. They just released a still the other day from it. And then something coming out for TV is Outlander by Diana Gabaldon. And when we were in New York City Comic Con, we were at the panel for Outlander. Karen, were you with us?
Yes, I was.
Okay, so Karen can attest that the panel for Outlander is, like, Outlander has a really big following. Like, really big. It's a little scary. But they are going to make it a Starz TV show. And they've been filming and they've been releasing these little video clips of the guy who plays Jamie teaching you how to say words in, like, with the proper Scottish intonations and things. So it looks really entertaining. But it's kind of this big, sweeping kind of romance that takes place. How to explain it? Basically, this woman, it's set initially in right after World War II. And this woman somehow travels back in time to kind of like, I think it's medieval Scotland. And so she's trapped there. And so she now has to deal with a life being trapped in this place that doesn't make any sense to her.
That sounds amazing.
With this very attractive man in a kilt.
Oh, that doesn't hurt either.
Laura is so into those books. She's really excited for the show too,
which is so funny because she had never read them until after we talked about it and after we went to the panel. She had not touched a single book, but so it looks really cool. And there are like something like five or six books. I think the fifth book just came out.
What series and channel, like, what channel is it gonna
okay be, it's gonna be on Starz, and it'll be out probably late fall. So yeah, so those are the ones that I think will be definitely something to keep an eye out for.
I have to say, Diana Gabaldon's books, and this is from someone who reads the Song of Ice and Fire novels, they intimidate me by how huge they are. They're just, like, enormous.
She's very wordy. Very wordy. But she's also, she's studied, like, all kinds of crazy things. So I think a lot of that translates into her novels. So, yeah. I don't know. It's cool. I mean, it's really cool.
I assume they're good and they're easy read, or not easy reads, but they read quickly, because otherwise, I mean, like, I was in the airport recently, I saw them and I was like, I don't know if I could put that in my carry-on.
That's what the Kindle's for, honey. So yeah, so those are the ones that I'm really looking forward to, I think, just to see kind of how they turn out, because there's a lot of buzz around a lot of those movies. And, like, Winter Cell has, like, no buzz. I don't know, like, if you see the trailer, you wouldn't automatically think, oh, that's an adaptation. But it just looks super cool, so I'm really excited about that. So, Kyle, do you want to go next? Like, there's so much going on.
We've been fighting over stuff in the doc. This entire time.
I totally missed this. Like, oh, I missed out on everything.
Oh, my gosh.
I would love to go first. I'll do the one I'm not sharing with anyone first. I'm looking forward to season 2 of the My Mad Fat Diary TV series. It's a TV series that's airing in the UK. It's based off a novel by Ray Earl, I believe. Her name is escaping me right now. So, but basically, it's this diary that she wrote when she had gotten out of a hospital for attempting suicide and, like, cutting herself, and how she's kind of, like, coming back into her life and making new friends, and how she's, like, obsessed with boys and sex, and it's really funny. And, like, she also has, like, body image problems because she's overweight, but it's, like, an amazing series that just kind of delves into her thought process and how she kind of deals with everything through music and through laughter. And so, like, the first season was amazing. So the second season is going to be airing this year. I'm really excited about that. I'm also excited about Game of Thrones season 4. And I know Michal is also really excited about that too.
I'm excited too. Oh, I just didn't want to be left out.
Oh. I have not read the book, so I don't know what's coming, but I'm really excited just because every year, like, something epic always happens, and so I'm wondering what the epic event is going to be for this season. And I'm sure Michal is probably, like, snickering to herself, kind of.
But the epic event is somebody's gonna die.
I just hope it's not someone I love.
Well, the interesting thing is that I've heard, I mean, given it's very complicated, you know, because obviously there's a million characters and timelines get mushed around, especially when they're adapting things. But I'm not entirely certain that the big event will be in episode 9, as it has been for the past few seasons. I think it might be earlier in the season.
Oh.
And that should be really interesting to see.
Yeah, because
I think I know what we're talking about.
Oh,
yes. Yes.
I read that. Wait, there are, I mean, when I finished that book, I was like, how are they going to fit all the rest of this stuff into 10 episodes? So much stuff happens after, like, they stopped having it in the TV show, like in the second half of that book. It's insane.
The fantastic thing that I love about Game of Thrones is that even for book lovers, like, it's totally different, because sometimes, like, they combine characters and, like, they, like, changed, like, who lives and who dies, and they're like, someone who might die in the book might live in the show. So, like, I like that they kind of change it up, and so, like, even if you're a book reader, you still don't know what's going to happen.
It's not that different.
Oh, well, still.
At least I don't think it's that different.
No, I don't think it's that different at all.
Yeah. I mean, there haven't been any like, deaths that have really surprised. Well, some made-up characters, their deaths have surprised me. But characters that are in the books, I mean, they're all made up, but characters that are in the books,
It's not nonfiction, guys. Game of Thrones is actually a documentary.
Oh, that's
cool. You know, yeah. It could be. But I'm really interested to see is well, it's the way I would like my history, okay?
What?
Dragons and swords.
I was just gonna say dragons.
Yeah, she's the dragon, right?
And blacksmiths.
And hot boys who are blacksmiths.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be a new character who's coming in this season who is a really, really popular character in the books. And I'm really interested to see how he is kind of incorporated into the show. Because at a certain point, I think there's like character saturation that happens. And like, I wonder, like, it's always hard to sell people on new characters in general, but I feel like it might be more of a challenge with this show, but we'll see. I don't know. I think it'll be good.
I'm so excited for this. I'm so excited for, you will know exactly which moment. I'm so excited. There's like a huge game changing moment in this book.
Yeah, and then nothing happens in the next two books, but whatever.
Right. Well, that's why I'm like, oh, I want to read the next one, but I don't want to, I want to watch the show first, but like, I really need to read the next book after the end of the other book. And just, oh, it's so hard. Life's hard, guys.
I have no sympathy for you guys. I've been reading these books for 10 years.
Yeah, well, that's your fault.
Strokes mustache.
Should have started them too early.
All right.
I didn't know it was going to take so long to write up.
Okay, Marima, do you want to go next?
Sure. I have a few. Mockingjay Part 1, that's going to come out. I mean, I guess I'm excited for it. I really like Catching Fire. I don't like the idea of them splitting Mockingjay, which was like the worst book in that series. But, you know, whatever. Jennifer Lawrence is great. And The Book Thief will eventually come out in my country. And then I'll finally be able to watch it. This is like, you guys don't understand the pain that this inflicts on me every time I just think about the fact that I haven't seen this movie yet. And If I Stay is another one. Now, I mean, this was meant to come out in 2014, but like, we'll see, because there's still a lot of stuff to do with that. But that is the adaptation of Gail Forman's beautiful book, which stars Chloe Moritz. And yeah, that will be, I think that will be really great, but I just don't know if they're going to make it for 2014, maybe later in the year. I'm sure it'll be like a limited release and it'll be so hard to get to, and it'll come out in Australia in like 25 years, so whatever, but yeah.
Anything else?
Do I have anything else? Oh yeah, well, I just wanted to say, like, I'm also a huge fan of comic book movies, and there are like a few big ones that are coming out this year. So there's the new Captain America, there is the new Amazing Spider-Man, there is the new X-Men Days of Future Past, which looks so good.
And there's
Guardians of the Galaxy as well, which, like, I have to say, I'm not sold on Guardians of the Galaxy yet, but like, I'll give it a shot. Mainly I'm excited for X-Men.
People are so excited for Guardians of the Galaxy, and I mean, I know nothing about it, and to me, like, as an outsider, the premise sounds really, really strange, but because people are so excited, I'm starting to get excited, and I have, like, no idea what the movie's about.
That's exactly how I feel. I don't know anything about it, but it looks really cool.
Yeah, but
I'm like, no, there's a raccoon, and
there's a cartoon raccoon. Like, I'm not 100% behind that idea yet. I'm sure it'll be great, but it sounds a bit kind of, you know.
Hmm? And Zoe Saldana's in it, and I really like her.
Oh, I love her. I love her. But I'm still more excited for X-Men, which is kind of so good.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I mean.
All right, Karen, do you have any?
I've one, but it's the only one that matters, so it's okay. I'm really looking forward to The Maze Runner.
Because you're really looking forward to Dylan O'Brien.
Yeah, we know why you're excited.
Yes.
Because the book didn't really do a whole lot for me. I thought it was interesting. Basically, what happens in it is there's this guy named Thomas.
Oh, I thought you were going to spoil it for me. I was like, oh, no.
No. Okay. No, his memory's blank, and he wakes up, and he's sort of, like, inside this big maze, and there are other kids who are there, too, and I think that the way that it's written, it's really kind of made to be a movie, like, it's a very visual sort of thing, and Dylan O'Brien is an amazing actor, and I think he's going to do a really good job, but yeah, pretty much, anytime I can go to the movie theater and watch him, I'm there.
Hell yeah, right? I agree.
I actually think this will be good.
Yeah.
This will be a better...
I'm looking forward to it.
It has the potential to be a really good adaptation.
Yeah, and I think you're right that it's very cinematic, the book, but like, I wasn't a huge fan of the book itself. But I think it will translate really well to screen.
Well, I'm actually hoping that the movie's going to be better than the book.
Well, yeah, like, I'm assuming it will be.
Circumstances.
Yeah.
Well, this summer when we were at Comic-Con, I went to the Nerd HQ panel for it. Yeah. And easy now, kids, easy. So I went to that, and it was really good. And they actually showed us, like, this footage. I don't think they were actually supposed to, but they did, because Whit Godfrey was there, who's the producer on it, and the director were there, along with Dylan O'Brien. And so they showed us some footage from it, and it looked really good. Like, the things that we saw were really cool, even though they were still really raw. They were really good. So I do have some hopes for that film to actually be pretty solid. And the fact that they took the time to move it and not rush it, because originally it was supposed to come out in February along with a bunch of other stuff, and they actually bumped it to September. So I think that that was a really good thing to do. Rather than rush it, they're taking their time on it and giving it its own space to be released.
Well, I'm looking forward to, I can already hear Marma laughing, the last part of The Hobbit, because I have abandoned all hopes that these will actually be good movies, but damn it, I still enjoy them, and also there is Luke Evans as Bard.
I was going to say, it's just because of really attractive Bard, isn't it? Because he's really attractive.
Oh god, he's so attractive, it's not normal.
We're so shallow this episode, you guys.
When are we not shallow?
No, but it's real. And also, I just realized that The Giver is supposed to be coming out this year, which is obviously based on, I mean, if you didn't read that in elementary school and have your world rocked, then you didn't have my elementary school experience, but I'm sure yours was perfectly valid as well. But yeah, it's based on the book by Lois Lowry. One of the, like, earlier incarnations of, like, a dystopian society. Brilliant, brilliant moving book. And they're finally making a movie out of it. And the cast includes the wonderful likes of Jeff Bridges, Meryl Streep, and Taylor Swift. So.
I don't think they started.
You can't say Meryl Streep and Taylor Swift in the same sentence.
I didn't think so, but it happened.
No.
That's not allowed.
That's not okay. I don't think it'll actually be out this year, because I don't think it's actually started filming yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm wrong. But
yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah, we could all live in hope, but I'm almost positive it hasn't actually started filming yet.
Ah.
But, yes. I was at an event where Lois Lowry was speaking, and she was talking about how Jeff Bridges had called her and was like, no, we're making this movie. I want to make this movie. He was very adamant that he was going to get the movie made, and she had heard it so many times before. She's like, okay, yeah. If you say so. Okay. And he was like, sending her letters and, like, calling her all the time. So finally they sat down and talked, and that's kind of what brought about the movie. Jeff Bridges has this huge passion about getting this movie made, so I think that's kind of cool.
Wow, I just saw Saving Mr. Banks, and that sounds like the same thing.
As you do.
Did anyone see that?
No.
I liked it.
Not yet. It's not out here. Not even.
That would be Australian problems. So that pretty much wraps up this episode of Book Hype. So it's our first one in 2014, and we hope we gave you guys a lot of stuff to think about in the upcoming months to read, to watch, and all of that good stuff. So thanks for listening, and of course, you can leave your comments and your thoughts about what's upcoming this year in the comment section of the podcast post. We'd love to hear what you guys have to think. So I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Marimo.
And I'm Nicole. Goodbye, guys!